हरे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे भगवते वासुदेवाय
I would like to welcome all of you for this session on Krishna Katha, or as I will explain, it will become more clear, or therapeutic hearing. There is a lecture which was given by Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, March 29th, 1975, where Srila Prabhupada defined the aim and purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. And I thought it is a very interesting lecture, and gives a good entry point into our subject matter of hearing Krishna Katha. He said, if we are fortunate enough to be attracted to Krishna's pastimes, and if we constantly think of them, then our life will be perfect. That is the aim and purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. So Srila Prabhupada here says, to become attracted to Krishna's pastimes and to be able to constantly think of them will give our life the perfection. When we think of the perfection of our life, is the perfection really to, you know, be beautiful? Is the perfection of our life really to have a position which allows us to fulfill our desires, also our Krishna conscious desires? Is the perfection of our life a career in the institution? I have heard one critic one very devoted member of the Hare Krishna movement, who was also a critic, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who said in his, what he had seen, many devotees are in the movement for Krishna consciousness because they have a position there. If they wouldn't, they would leave it. Is that the aim and purpose of life? No, the aim and purpose of our life is to feel love in our heart. Love for Krishna. In another statement that is in the purport of the song Nityananda Nishtha, Srila Prabhupada said, the aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to eat enough prasadam. Aniruddha is laughing. Does this sound correct? Not yet. The aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to make its members responsible members of the society. Responsible sounds good in modern ISKCON, but is that the aim of the Hare Krishna movement? He says, the aim of this Krishna consciousness movement, now listen very much, I might deceive you a third time. The aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to enable us to approach Radha Krishna and associate with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. By the way, this is the statement. Yes, the aim is to make you dancers in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur advises that if one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha Krishna, so this seems to be a goal, he must accept the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. But the point here is Krishna's Leela, and ultimately to enter and participate in this Leela, is the declared aim of Krishna consciousness life. And Krishna conscious practice. This first statement which I read to you, that the aim of Krishna consciousness is to constantly think of Krishna's pastimes being attractive, this statement Prabhupada delivered after he watched the performance of the Radha Krishna Leela troupe for Manipur. I thought I would use such a statement because His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who had just very recently, and for all of us, it came so unexpected. He had left us, and he had brought these Rasa Leela dances from Manipur to Mayapur, and also later to Zurich in Switzerland. I remember I was sitting with the Swiss people there, and there was first the sword fight, and they were all liking it very much. And then there was this very, very wonderful Rasa Leela troupe, which was dancing Rasa Leela, and later I asked Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, you have brought such an exalted subject to Zurich in Switzerland? And he said, yes, Prabhupada said. Then he quoted something which Prabhupada had actually said during that time. Introduce these pastimes of Krishna all over the world so that the people in general, may take lesson that the happiness they are seeking is with Krishna. So these Krishna conscious pastimes are very, very beautiful, and in the second part of this presentation I will tell you a very, very nice pastime which took place here. Krishna has come to this world, displayed his pastimes with the absolute mission in life to attract us to become part of these pastimes. I've heard, when I was young, I sometimes would see horror movies in the cinema, and I remember before the actual movie started, there were other short excerpts of upcoming movies which were played, and these short excerpts were meant to attract the cinema goer to come to the upcoming attraction later, no? When they would be played later, in completeness. So Krishna also comes with his Leela troupe, with his dear associates, to perform Leelas in this world, which are by definition brief and not so complete as the eternal Leela, not so complete as the Leelas in the spiritual, eternal spiritual world. And they are, these Leelas have the purpose, Krishna shows these Leelas, these pastimes, so that we become attracted and understand that this world in which we live at the present moment is only offering us a chaya, a shadow of reality, an ever-changing shadow. And it's not really the reality. It's not, this world is really it's only a shadow reflection, and it cannot make us happy. So Krishna gives us a foretaste by displaying his pastimes, which are always totally full of rasa. Mostly rasa is defined as something which is very astonishing and very fascinating, and which begins to attract us if we are a little bit purified in our mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, who can be attracted by Lord Krishna? And he gives the answer, that person can become attracted to Lord Krishna, whose heart is free from the sense gratificatory mood which is there in this world. Sense gratification, in other words, is something like rust which covers the conditioned soul, like rust covers iron. And when that sense gratification rust is there, we don't feel attracted to Krishna. Whenever you feel that while chanting you have no taste, or while hearing Krishna Katha, you are actually also not feeling taste, you must take the rust off. The heart has developed rust again. Therefore, there is this prayer to Lord Nityananda. Vishaya chadiya kabe. Vishaya. Trying to find it for you. Shuddha habe mana kabe habe rava Shri Vrindavanam. Oh, when will Lord Nityananda take away this covering of Vishaya, this desire for sense gratification? Then I can enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. No? Yes, yes. Today, in this seminar which I will be giving, I will be trying to remove some rust from your heart, if you allow me, if it is pleasing to your mind and to your heart, then I will do. So that we can feel attracted and feel that original impulse again, that is to move forward on our march to Krishna. I always have one problem with the Hare Krishna movement. Again, I must say I'm a very committed member, but still this doesn't mean I can't criticize my home place. Devotees seem to lose the original impulse of Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious searching after some time. Psychologically, I can explain it, but that is only a partial explanation. It is said, when an interest is arisen, the interest will try to gratify itself as soon as possible. And therefore we will try to know more and more and more about the person. Then after some time, we feel there is really not much more to be known about this person. And at that time, if we don't develop a new perspective of that personality, our interest in the person goes down. I think this is the drama of modern marriages, including Hare Krishna marriages. In the beginning, there is an interest in the other partner, and one wants to know the place of birth, the place of the preference in food and dressing styles, and so on. But then after some time, when the interest has become quenched, and the person is a known person, very often, if there is not a new project or something which incites us anew, the interest wanes and divorce is before the door. So this is a psychological state which happens in this world. For instance, when we are satiated with our articles, commercial articles which we have bought. I remember there was my difficulties when my parents gave me toys. I was so interested in the toys. I thought about them for a whole year. I was really counting the days. When is Christmas Eve coming? I remember I especially, as a child, wanted to have these toys which helped me to move quicker. So one was a little go-kart, a little car which was driven by the bicycle style, you know, with pedals. And I remember when I finally saw it, it was winter, and my parents said, you can only drive it in the summer, there's snow out. And for me, it's no problem to drive in snow. I immediately took it out on Christmas Eve. It was 11 o'clock in the night, and I was driving it on the main road with great glee and enthusiasm. Then my brother came and ran and gave me the torchlight in the hand so that people could see me, cars could see me. I was so absolutely enthusiastic. But after 1 week, that poor go-kart was in the garbage container. I knew all the maneuvers back and forth, left and right, fast styles and medium fast styles, and was no longer interested. So this unfortunately can happen also when you enter a spiritual movement. You suffer at that time from the half-dead syndrome, where you are no longer interested because you have no spiritual goal, no spiritual aim before you, no purpose really, which is really invigorating you. I would always like to inspire you to look for a project in Krishna consciousness, either which is there in your internal spiritual advancement, and also something where you can express your enthusiasm in the service of Guru and Krishna. You know, this is very important. This need for expression of your enthusiasm is also necessary to stay alive. Good. So this is not the case if you engage your mind with Krishna. Krishna is so absolutely new and fresh always that nobody who has actually approached Krishna has become bored with Krishna. Even the Goswamis of Vrindavan are always so absolutely fascinated with Krishna, with the Krishna subject, that there is never a question of becoming bored, but one goes always deeper and deeper. So, in Vrindavan, where we are at the present moment, is the best place, really, to look for this love of Krishna and to develop this love for Krishna. Here you should become a lover, Ratnabhushan. Taras, Krishna Jivani, you must become a lover here, a lover of Krishna. This is why we are in Vrindavan. Prabhupada once said this in 74, real love is to love Krishna. That is the highest philosophy of life, the highest perfection of life. How to learn to love Krishna. My dear devotees, make this your subject of interest. How to learn to love Krishna. And Prabhupada says, Vrindavan means simply loving Krishna. The cowherd boys, the gopis, Nanda Maharaj, oh Yashoda Mayi, Radha Rani, their only focus is to love Krishna. That's all. That is Vrindavan. Then he says what it doesn't mean, Vrindavan. Vrindavan does not mean a city or town. Prabhupada used to say about, used to note that devotees would come to Vrindavan to do their purchases in Loi Bazaar. And he said, Krishna is everywhere in Vrindavan except for Loi Bazaar. There he is not. Hare Krishna. Obviously, he meant Krishna is certainly there in Loi Bazaar, but Loi Bazaar means a mentality. I must purchase this, I must purchase that. How do I get the best price? How do I get a shirt which best shows my muscular structure and my fantastic aspects of my physical decaying form, you know, and so on. In this consciousness, Krishna is not there. So Vrindavan does not mean a city or town. Vrindavan means where everyone is in love, Haribo, in intense love with Krishna. And then he turns to his audience. Now you have come to Vrindavan. Imagine Prabhupada addressing all of us here. Now you have come to Vrindavan. Try to learn how to intensely love Krishna. That is the perfection of life. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. The romantic philosopher of German, Novalis, he said, the need of the human being is to open a school where he can learn to love. Novalis did not know about Vrindavan. That's a school. With everything. With props like Giriraj, Govardhan Hill. It's a hill where many loving pastimes took place. We will hear in a moment about it. There's a Yamuna. There is the dust of Vrindavan. It is said that three personalities have never changed since Krishna was here. Giriraj, same Giriraj, no difference. Yamuna, same Yamunaji, no difference, only that there's maybe some modern cosmetics inside from the modern ladies who take their baths. And not only cosmetics, there's also some modern digested materials inside. But the Yamuna is the same, and the dust of Vrindavan, same dust. Krishna walked here. It is empowered by the touch of his lotus feet. So Prabhupada says, now you have come here into the school of love. try to learn how to intensely love Krishna. That is the perfection of life. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. And then Prabhupada, he says, those who are attached to Vishaya, sense gratification, cannot see what is Vrindavan, because Vrindavan Dham is Aprakata Dham. They cannot understand what is Krishna and Radha. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings, Vishaya Chadiya Kabe Shodabe Mana Kabe Hama Herava Shri Vrindavanam. Vishaya Chadiya means one who detests this material enjoyment. Such people can see what is Vrindavan. Those who are attached to material enjoyment, they cannot see what is Vrindavan. This is the process. So we should somehow try to become free from this sense enjoyment, at least in theory. And this is what this Govardhan retreat is about. We are creating a situation where you have enough what you need, bathing, eating, but you can have the school of love, which you can enter every morning and come out in the evening, where you can learn these things. Once in Bengal, there were some geese means plural. Geese. Do you know what are geese? Gänse in German. Geese. Us. Guska. The Guska. So everyone knows what is geese? They lived at a pond which was drying out very quickly. Pond had almost become free from water and now developed a stench, a terrible stench from the many rotten things, decomposing things which were there. And the poor geese had nothing else to eat than these foul materials and became very dejected and morose. At that time, the best of the swans came by. They were on the journey to Manasa Sarova in near Kailash, the best of all lakes in this world. They said to the geese, come, where are you going? Very far, to Manasa Sarova. Oh, can we also go, said the geese. Yes, said the swans. You can climb on our backs and we will carry you. We consider you our dirty little brothers and sisters from Bengal. So when the geese were in high air, oh, Hare Krishna, Sadhya Devi, please talk later about the colors. You can just communicate without sound. It is easy for little girls, just with sign languages and so on. So then not Krishna that's the first thing which comes out in this atmosphere when your concept is no longer there. Then Krishna comes out. when they were half on the way, the geese thought, oh, if we go now to this wonderful lake at the foothills of the mountain of Kailash, maybe we will not have enough to eat. They reported their doubt to the swans, and the swans laughed. We have much bigger bodies than you, and we eat very, very nicely. Don't worry. It's a foolish worry. But the geese developed so much of a doubt, so much of problems, that actually finally they demanded return to Bengal, to our dirty pukurs, our dirty ponds. My dear devotees, we may laugh about this story, but this is our own story very often. The sadhus come, pick us up, bring us on the path back to Godhead. But often, right on the way, we develop grave doubts. Can I go? Do I want to go? And pulled by our doubts and desires for sense gratification, we settle for a very compromised life in our spiritual life, where the back to Godhead is really out of sight. Now we are in Vrindavan and we can't imagine, but large parts of the movement for Hare Krishna has developed into a religion. No longer that spiritual movement which is carried by the original impulse to go to the blessed lake of Manasarova, to go back home, back to Godhead. Modern devotees now want to make Krishna consciousness a part of the human experience, part of the material experience, part of living in this world. And in this way, return to the ponds which they have originally started to leave. In Vrindavan, we need thought-provoking discussions about our highest spiritual aims, of our journey back home, back to Godhead, journey away from the land of illusion to the reality of the spiritual world. I would like to start my journey with all of you with a meeting which took place 500 years ago in garden of Ayatota. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just ended his ecstatic dance before Lord Jagannath. He had danced, and while he danced, the symptoms of ecstasy had covered him, and I will not talk so much about this now, because I am informed by Burijam Prabhu, that he wishes to talk about the dancing of Lord Chaitanya during Ratha Yatra. But let us just imagine Mahaprabhu's ecstatic dance before the Lord. It said that he cried tears which squinted from his eyes as if they were moved by a syringe. They made the devotees wet. Wouldn't it be nice to be bathed by the tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where were we? So, after doing this ecstatic dance, Mahaprabhu rested in this garden Ayatota. And during that time, Maharaj Prataparudra, the incapacitated king, came to him. Maharaj Prataparudra had often tried to gain an audience with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declined, saying that he would not see a sense gratifier, a king, a pound and penny man who was after women. Now, Maharaj Prataparudra was not such a king. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the point of sannyas life. And finally, Maharaj Prataparudra became so destitute that he said, "I will leave my kingdom and become a beggar if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will receive only a beggar." And all his ministers said, no, we need you. Then Prataparudra became even more intense. He said, "If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not agree to see me, I will take my useless life. Hare Krishna. So then everyone knew something had to be done, and a plan was devised whereby which Prataparudra Rudra would come in the dress of a humble Vaishnava when Mahaprabhu had danced in the Ratha Yatra festival, and he would be showered with ecstasy. He would lie for a rest in the Ayatota garden. So Prataparudra now very fearfully approaches. Mahaprabhu is resting on a platform. He is in the middle consciousness. There is the highly ecstatic consciousness. Then there is the external consciousness, Bahiranga, Chetana, and there is the consciousness in between of Mahaprabhu, that is half-half. And Prataparudra comes very fearfully in order to now do massaging seva to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is after all danced for many hours without stop. He wants to loosen the muscles and massage. And he does so while reciting the Gopi Gita. We will sing one verse of the Gopi Gita, which we have posted here. He started to sing the verses of the Gopi Gita, and then he came to this verse.
Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiditam kalmashapaham.
Please sing.
Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibhiditam kalmashapaham. Chavana mangalam shimadatatam puvigrinanti ye buridajana. Chavana mangalam.
Tadas. Oh, Tadas. Verstärken.
Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kaviviriritam kalmashapaham. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kalmashapaham. Uvigrinanti Deburidajana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received this massage of King Pratapa Rudra, he had been very calm and composed up to the moment where King Pratapa Rudra's lips touched this verse which you have sung just a second ago. When Mahaprabhu heard this voice, this verse, he jumped up, he embraced the king, and he cried, "You are the most munificent. Who are you? Who are you? Tell me, who are you?" Now the king could have said, "I'm King Pratapa Rudra," but he knew that Mahaprabhu just only a few hours ago had shuddered when Maharaj Pratapa Rudra had tried to help him up when he had fallen while he was dancing at the Rathayata festival, and he had said, "I can never be touched by a king." So this time Pratapa Rudra, in the disguise of a humble Vaishnav Grihastha, said, I'm the servant of your servant. That's what I am." So let us hear the translation of this verse, which is so important in Vaishnava history. It says, "The nectar of your words, Krishna, and the description of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much moved by this verse, because this verse is described to be a rasayana verse, a verse full of inherent potency to revive people who are half dead. It eradicates sinful reactions and bestows good fortune. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us a little bit about the power of these Krishna Katha, and I really hope that you will experience it when I will in about 10 minutes discuss some first class Krishna Katha with you. He says that there is immediately a benefit for those who can hear Krishna Katha. It's therapeutic. When you go to an Ayurvedic treatment, then there is this treatment called Pancha Karma, and when you go through this Pancha Karma, the result is that you are very much enlivened. All the toxins are brought out of your system, and you are very healthy. Your immune system raises, and you can go healthy through your life. This is therapeutic effect. So hearing about Krishna has the following results, therapeutic results. Here is a quotation. "Topics about you, O Krishna, give life to those who are tormented by the cycle of birth and death. Terrible diseases and other causes of suffering, tapta jivanam. They give life to those who are suffering in separation from you, O Krishna. Thus Harikatha is better than both the nectar of heaven and the nectar of liberation. This is confirmed by great devotees, Kavibhya Iditam, like Prahlad and Dhruva, who said, Yani vrittis tanubritam tavapada patma, dhyanat bhavaj janakata shravena vasyat, sabramani sva mahimani apinatamabhut. My dear Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating about your lotus feet or hearing about your glories from pure devotees is so unlimited that it is far beyond the stage of Brahmananda. A little while ago, just a few days ago, Yagyapurusha and myself, we went on a bicycle through Vrindavan, and while we were bicycling, we landed into the Parikram party of Ramesh Baba, a friend of Radhanath Maharaj. It was 8,000 Parikram devotees who traveled for 40 days to Vrindavan. 40 days is that day. During this time, in the evening, Ramesh Baba always gives some first-class Krishna Katha based on Gaga Sanghita and other scriptures. Very authorized. You can see it's really from the scriptures. Now on one evening, I was not there, but one evening, they start the program with a very nice kirtan, very peaceful, very nice. There are some singers. Now one evening there was a high voltage in the microphones, and eight of the singers who used microphones, you know, the 8,000 people means a lot of sound needs to be there, they burned. One girl who wanted to come here from Ramesh Baba's group to sing during the theater play, I mean, whom we wanted to come, it's a very nice Mataji connected with our movement, burned all her arms, and her whole face was burned. And one other person died. When you touch with your delicate lips the microphone, which is under, 500 watts, you know. But none of the singers wanted to stop the parikrama. They had to be carried in cars, but they argued the nectar of Krishna Katha is life giving to those who are suffer in separation from Krishna. And this Hari Katha is better than both the nectar of heaven and the nectar of liberation. The nectar of your topics destroys the effects of all stages of sin. The nectar of Swaga, heavenly planets, does not destroy sins, but rather increases lusty desire. You know, when you hear about the She Apsara meant so and so, lusty boy, that does not destroy lusty desires, but increases it. Even the nectar of liberation does not destroy Parapta Kama, though it destroys Aparapta and Kuta and Bija. The nectar of your topics are constantly broadcasted by your devotees, and they bestow the wealth up to prema on your devotees. The nectar of the heavenly planets and the nectar of the liberation from material life cannot do this. They can't give love in the heart. Those who glorify you in kirtan are bestowing the greatest treasure. Though one may give that person everything he owns, he can never repay him. Now, by hearing Krishna Katha, in other words, we get new sanskaras in our heart. Very deep spiritual sanskaras, which can take care that our homeward journey takes place. If we don't hear Krishna Katha, then we will never know what is the spiritual world, and we will never feel enticed and moved to go into the spiritual realm. Krishna Katha acts like a wonderful agent who clears our path by bringing this bad karma which keeps us in this world forever out of our way. Krishna Katha is thus very, very powerful, and it is described to be the medicine for all of those who suffer in this material world. So I will make now a little pause.